This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2250. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition recorded July 4th, Antarctica, Australia, Brazil, Burkina Faso, Canada, China, Cuba, Ethiopia, Finland, Germany, Israel, Kazakhstan, Mexico, Netherlands, Oklahoma, Peru, Russia, São Tomé, Saudi Arabia, UK, USA, Vanuatu, WRTH ebook, AI noise filtering, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. Still trying to hear LRA 36 Antarctica. WhatsApp message from Adrian Corol, director of RAI, via Manuel Mendez on July 1st, said it would carry out a special test transmission, UT Friday, July 5th, between 01 and 04 UT, on 15476. That's a few hours after their regular Thursday broadcast, July 4th, between 18 and 20 hours. Dan Robinson checked for that at 1845 and was hearing not a peep from LRA 36. And unless you're hearing this World of Radio hot off the press, such as via podcast, it's already too late to check for that special, but we'll have more about it next week. In New Zealand DX Times, Brian Clark reports on one of those low-power Australians, which I'm not sure has ever been heard in North America, on 4970. On the 2nd of June at 1938 UT, Radio 567, via the XRN radio network in Wee Waa, New South Wales. For him, it was initially fair, but fading into daylight, and the frequency was actually measured 15 hertz on the high side of 4970. From the July media briefings of the Association for International Broadcasting, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, ABC, has launched Radio Australia on FM in Tuvalu for the first time, another milestone in the network's expansion in the Pacific. Radio Australia on 102 FM. Where else are they? No need of shortwave, just FM relays. Nauru, Palau, Pohnpei in the Federated States of Micronesia, Kokopo in Papua New Guinea, Gizo in the Solomon Islands. And plans to launch in more new locations in the coming months, including Kiribati, Cook Islands, Marshall Islands, Loringao in PNG, and Buka in the autonomous region of Bougainville. Here's another report of an unofficial station in Brazil on 9370, July 1st at 2015 to 2032. JRX in Bariba heard Radio Frankenstein, probably in the same state, a musical program dedicated to the Foroche style of rhythm with an ID frequency and email as Ondas Curtas Brasil, one word, at gmail.com. Fair reception, he says, for this unofficial station, 35533, and they do send an EQSL. No shortwave out of Burkina Faso for quite a while, but anyway, another AIB item. In a continuing war of words against international media organizations waged by Burkina Faso, the national broadcaster RTB has broadcast an hour-long talk show accusing Radio France International, France 24, BBC, CNN, VOA, TV5 Monde, and Reuters of spreading fake news and disinformation aimed at destabilizing the West African nation. The media regulator suspended operating licenses of several of the Western broadcasters. Since a coup in 2022, Burkina Faso has been led by Captain Ibrahim Traoré, heading a military junta. Following up our news last week about the demise of CKGO, AM 730 in Vancouver, BC, Tony Pavic in Hope, BC says, "The end of All Traffic All the Time, CKGO, underscores how inept and clueless big corporations like Chorus are at doing radio. CKGO, given its unique format, was a vital part of the AM radio spectrum in the greater Vancouver area. Its presentation was at times extremely clumsy, as in the guy who referred to bad traffic areas as being bowling shoe ugly and saying the station slogan AM 730 so quickly, he sounded like he was saying AM Subaru. Nonetheless, it was the only lower mainland radio station, AM or FM, I tuned to with any regularity. To channel Sam Elliott in The Big Lebowski, it takes a special kind of stupid to screw up so badly that you have to close down a station like CKGO. It gets back to what I believe about local radio. Big corporations should stay out, Quit screwing around with simulcasting, branding, voice tracking, automation, and narrowcasting. Give local radio back to the locality it lives in, with real live on-air people, who are not tied to the talking points divvied out by corporate. The Bottom Line, Chorus, Bell, Rogers, iHeart, etc., don't have a clue. There's also been lots of other Canadian news concerning changes of ownership and or programming, mainly from Canadian Radio News, RadioWest.ca, quoted in IRCA DX Monitor and New Zealand DX Times. Andy Reid in Ontario tells us, last week Niti P. Ray gained approval from CRTC to purchase from Bell 3 AM stations in Ontario, including two in Hamilton, CHAM 820 and CKOC 1150. But starting July 3rd, both those frequencies are broadcasting dead air. Formerly Funny 820 and CKOC with BNN. But John Perkins says they were back on the air with programming later that day. Also reported by Gilles Michaud in Quebec. In the Michigan area tip sheet, Neil Bovish in Ontario comments on 1540 CHIN in Toronto. June 28th at 0301 UT, not on the air. Behind leaving KXEL front and center. Past few days, Chen has not been carrying their old-time radio programs in the night middle. Apparently they moved all their Chinese programming onto one of their FMs, 91.9 and 100.7. And during the day they were doing Italian pop music. But to already be off the air at 11 p.m. local is unusual. Unless they figure that Giuseppe from Woodbridge and Rocco from Caledone really want to hear KXEL. I can remember when Chen were a daytime-only station. Bruce Churchill, a retired Navy man, says he saw this in gcaptain.com. Chinese coastal station in Tianjin starts ice forecast broadcast for the Northeast Passage shipping. It is at least in the summer around the Russian Arctic, instead of via the Suez Canal and everything that's going on around there. Are the frequencies not in this story, but Bruce looked them up in the Klingenfuss Guide of 21st edition. XSV is the Tianjin station. It could be on 486, 4209.5, 4212.5, 8417.5, 8419, 12581.5, or 12583 kHz. It does give the times for the Arctic bulletins every day at 06 and 14 UT from July 1st to October 31st. Yet another frequency for unscheduled English from Radio Havana, Cuba. July 3rd at midnight 30 UT, I heard them on 11950 with a very good signal into Brazil where I was tuning in a remote. You never know whether English will be on 6000, the only scheduled frequency, or somewhere else like 9700 or 15230, and now 11950. Tony Pavic observes that Radio Havana, Cuba does not even attempt to announce their frequencies in English. Does anyone there even know what's going on? Mike Barraclough tells us about a YouTube item about Radio Fano, F-A-N-O, just uploaded by the South African SWL André, who interviewed a presenter and producer from The Voice of Fano, targeting Ethiopia because of the ongoing conflict between various ethnic groups there. It was heard on 15215 kHz. It's a rare station, transmitting only twice a week. The presenter said, "There is conflict against the Amhara people. A genocide is going on in Ethiopia, and very few people pay any attention." Voice of Fano can be heard on Wednesdays and Saturdays from 1700 until 1815 UT on 15215 via France. There's another new low-power private shortwave station in Finland. It's on 6120, called Radio Blacksmith Knoll. That's K-N-O-L-L. Reported in Nordiex by Jan-Mikael Nurmela. The license power is only 25 watts. That is via Kari Kallio, and more about it via Mike Terry. It's on the west coast of Finland. The first test transmission took place on June 30th at 21 UT. A 43-meter-long dipole antenna from a transceiver. License is valid from July 1st to August 6th. Their test transmission for July 1st to 3rd is going to be random tests during the days and evenings, fine-tuning of the system, preparing the studio for a more controlled schedule. Radio Blacksmith Knoll is the fourth Finnish private shortwave station. Information at its website, blacksmith-knoll.blogspot.com. David Koenig of Interval Signals Online in the UK heard it testing on 1 July at 1340 until off at 1348 UT on 6120. Fair to good reception via remote in Finland, programming in Finnish and English, and a bit of orchestral music. Kari Kallio got only the second QSL from them with a very florid message, starting, "Dear esteemed listener, I trust this correspondence finds you well, nestled in the embrace of your radio waves. As the steward of our modest station, I extend my sincere gratitude for your recent reception report, a beacon of clarity that pierces the static-laden ether. Your diligence in tuning frequencies, deciphering signals, and sharing your findings does not go unnoticed. May the airwaves carry whispers of distant lands to your receiver, and may the static never dampen your curiosity. Until our frequencies intersect once more, dear listener, accept my heartfelt thanks from the operator." Terry Colgan of Texas Radio Shortwave advises us about his broadcast in early July via Channel 292 in Germany. Saturday, July 6th at 19 UT on 3955, and Sunday, July 7th at 1200 on 9670, featuring Texas musicians singing about Texas cities and towns. North American listeners will need to use remote receivers in Europe. AIB reports that Israel's trilingual international news channel, I-24, added a 24/7 Hebrew language service on 30 June, complementing English, French, and Arabic language channels. I saw another report, however, that their English service would be partly in Hebrew during the day with English subtitles. From telesatinfo.ru via Rusty X about Kazakhstan, the president has signed a law on mass media providing for an increase in the volume of domestic TV and radio programs in the Kazakh language, as well as broadcasts of musical works created by Kazakh authors up to 55% from 2025 and 60% from 2027. Also, the rebroadcast of foreign television and radio channels will be reduced from 20% to 10%. Thus, the Russian language continues to be consistently squeezed out of the public space of the neighboring country. I had another nice sporadic EFMDX opening from southwestern Mexico, mainly the state of Nayarit, to Oklahoma, on June 28th, before and after 19 UT. All the details in my published reports. And I also heard the university station in Aguascalientes on 94.5 XHUAA. Gianni Serra in Roma, Italy, reports what I guess is another pirate from the Netherlands on a frequency you might not expect. Rock Power Radio in Nijmegen, June 25th at 2107 to 2141 on 7269.98 with retro disco hit songs and a slow pop song. Kari Kallio in Finland reports on Radio Delta in the Netherlands, 6170. On Friday, their programming was at 18 UT Pure Dutch at 20 to 22, 5 decades of music, every song telling a story. They say, "We've tested extensively and received great feedback from around the world. Catch us on weekends from 18 UT until autumn." Or see the schedule at radiodelta.am. Oklahoma on 1020 kHz, KOKP in Perry, too close to Enid, was off the air for 6 days following a hurricane-force windstorm early UT June 26, but heard again by July 2nd. Meanwhile, we were able to hear KDKA in Pittsburgh and or Radio Vision Christiana from Roswell. The 50-kilowatt clear-channel station in Tulsa, Oklahoma on 1170, originally KVOO, then KFAQ, then KTSB, changed its format and name as of June 26 to KOTV-AM. Yes, as implied, it's carrying the soundtrack of a new sub-channel of KOTV Channel 6. They call it News on 6. But it's actually olds most of the time, as they repeat over and over the last newscast that was actually on the air. Via remotes in Argentina, Zaharias Tangas in Greece reports hearing Peru, Radio Tarma, on 4774.955, on the 1st of July at 10.07 UT. Mysterious exotic music in Spanish or local language. Heard until 10.36 or 10.43. Via international vacuum, internet, medium, short, and very short waves, World of Radio 2250, a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Great many thanks this week for very generous financial support from Peter Robinson in Preston, UK, who sent his contribution via PayPal to woradio@yahoo.com. He says, thanks for the DX and SWL updates. Much appreciated. One may also contribute via money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. AIB reports that Russia's foreign ministry has announced bans on a large number of media companies, broadcast, digital, and print, based in EU member states. In response to the continuing bans in place in the EU that prohibit many Russian media outlets from being broadcast in EU member states. In a statement, 25 June, the foreign ministry said, in response to the May 17 decision of the EU Council banning broadcasting of RIA Novosti, Izvestia MIC, and Rossiyskaya Gazeta, effective June 25th, countermeasures are introduced limiting access to broadcasting resources in the Russian Federation for media outlets of EU member states and media operators that systematically spread false information about the special military operation. And AIB presents a list of the 81 media companies affected. As we mentioned last week, the São Tomé relay site of Voice of America was slated for closure, and it may have happened already. Andrew Braid reports in the Medium Wave Circle, I noticed the unusual absence of VOA, normally signing on around 0250 UT, on 1530 kHz. This was July 2nd. It signed off last night, but was not there this morning. And it signed on 2 hours early to cover the Trump-Biden debate last week, he says. 1530, by the way, has been high-powered and well audible in Europe, and even in eastern North America, by those who can pull it past WCKY. I heard what is listed as São Tomé on June 30th, 15460, until 1459 UT. That's scheduled as the Voice of America in Kinyarwanda or Kirundi. We need to check whether other shortwave broadcasts from the São Tomé site are still there. They might be, but transferred to a different site without notice. Saudi Arabia is still transmitting a huge buzz with no programming on 11935, as I heard July 3rd at 1723. Wolfgang Duschel also reported on June 24th at 0625 this way, some 27 strings seen on the screen and a buzz tone heard, a terrible sound of 120 hertz between the strings, on the frequencies ranging from 11933.047 to 11936.771. Via the remote in Qatar. Mike Cooper forwards a listing of numerous programming changes temporarily by BBC World Service in order to cover the elections in Britain and in France. Far too complex to try to utter verbally, but suffice it to say, if you want coverage of those events, the BBC World Service is it. In IRCA DX Monitor, John Perkins in Edmonton, Alberta reports on WWVB's power reduction on 60 kHz, long wave 60, used by millions of North American devices to self-synchronize. He says, I have two wall clocks, a watch, a weather station, and a small clockwear IDX that all rely on WWVB to keep accurate time. On the evening of April 6, their southern antennas suffered damage from wind gusts reaching 90 miles per hour. Replacements for the damaged components have to be custom manufactured. Meanwhile, WWVB is only using its second identical antenna, 857 meters to the north with 30 kilowatts instead of 75 when both are used. Their webpage has a May 20th update indicating the southern antenna should be up and running any day now. But Paul Walker reports that WWVH on 10 megahertz is still announcing that reduced power for WWVB will continue indefinitely. Here in Edmonton, all my devices are still synchronizing normally at least once daily, except during auroral conditions. Reports from the East Coast indicate synchronization has become sporadic since WWVB power reduction began in April. Why two identical antennas? They were built in 1962, the north antenna for WWVL on 20 kHz. A 1968 edition WRTH indicates that ran only 1,800 watts and WWVB 13,000. WWVL was shut down in 1972, and the north antenna repurposed to allow WWVB to increase power by running on both antennas. They were both refurbished in 1999. We had news of his appointment a couple of months ago, but now it's official, according to AIB. Michael Abramowitz, a prominent journalist and former president of Freedom House, was sworn in on June 24th as the 31st director of the Voice of America. He previously directed the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum's Levine Institute for Holocaust Education and led the museum's genocide prevention efforts. USA Non, following up what I said about Saint-Thomé, I hear that there's been rather extensive programming cuts to other relay sites such as Botswana, Thailand, and Philippines. This may be the beginning of the end for U.S. government international broadcasting. The Radio Free Asia DRM test on 11700 is believed to have been via the Wolverton, U.K. site in Craig Christ in Virginia, received a QSL after picking it up with almost perfect reception. Unfortunately, the QSL did not even mention DRM. Likewise, says Chris Mackerel in New Zealand. On July 3rd at 21:45, John Collins in England was hearing on 11900 a repeating tape of Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty Praha IDs. That's what goes out when a satellite feed is missing. However, what was really scheduled at that time was the VOA in Bambara via Vatican. Kai Ludwig says USAGM is phasing out satellite feeds to relays because of the expense. IRRS informs me of some scheduling changes for World of Radio. The shortwave broadcast, Sunday at 0930 UT on 9510, has been replaced already by something else. We're still on 1323 kHz via Italy. Sundays at 19 UT, Fridays at 2030, that should be the first broadcast each week, and a new time, Tuesdays at 2000 UT. These are also streaming, and there's another one streaming only, Saturdays at 2330. The schedule is contradictory, so it's not clear if this is intentional, but lately I've noticed WRMI staying on the air late into the night on 9955, not only on weekends, but with RFI Spanish relays heard at 0630, they probably start at 0600 on July 2nd and 4th. However, on the 3rd, there was music instead before 0700. In his NASA Journal column, Bill Tilford reports on shortwave program spotlight about a couple of WBCQ programs you may not know about, unless you run across them because they're not on their program schedule. The Plain Old Doug Show, or PODS for short, is well done from a longtime shortwave listener who decided to try his hand at doing programs during the Radio Angela period a couple of years back, and is still on WBCQ. A weekly half hour, currently hidden under the available time slot listing, Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern, or 01 UT Mondays, on 7490. Each week is a little different, sometimes old-time music, jazz, classical, poetry, comedy. Some of Doug's most recent episodes featured Arthur Godfrey, Moondog, a saxophonist, TV themes, and some good folk music. Most of the material in a typical episode is retro, but well chosen. Another hidden gem is Tom Call Theater. A multi-week best-of run has been hiding under what is still listed as multiple other programs. Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern on 7490 or 22 UT. This consists of original radio plays performed by extremely talented healthcare workers in Massachusetts, with excellent production values and sound effects. Although homemade, its quality is NPR-worthy. These scripts are quirky, often with an element of sci-fi or light horror, and usually a plot twist of some sort and a sense of humor. Tom says that his best-of run is ending July 14th, so try to catch an episode before then. After July 14th, Tom Call Theater will be a pop-up series again with a new episode every couple of months or so. Keep them on your radar. Demonstrating that not all WBCQ programming is right-wing or religious, there's Johnny Lightning, who is on every second Sunday, such as July 7th, at 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern or UT Mondays, midnight to 03, on 6160. Johnny Lightning is a former pirate. I don't think you'll find a more virulently anti-Trump, mostly left-wing and staunchly anti-religious, maybe even blasphemous to some ears, program on the airwaves. The live show from Staten Island often includes some hilariously funny fake ads, off-the-wall jingles, and other satirical material. FCC watcher Ben Cobb says, on July 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern, FCC will offer a public preview of a new system for applying for international broadcast station licenses. An online, so-called enhanced and cloud-based International Communications Filing System, or ICFS, for use with many types of documents filed with the Office of International Affairs, to be deployed in August. In order to participate in the live preview sessions, you must register. Info about that is available at the FCC.gov website under International Affairs Upgraded International Communications Filing System, ICFS Preview. Bill Tilford refers us to an article in Radio World of July 2nd by Randy Stein. AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to Receive Minor Technical Update. A bill in the House of Representatives is being revised. New info indicates one of the original co-sponsors, Representative Frank Pallone of New Jersey, plans to introduce an amendment. Minor Technical Updates. This comes on the heels of last week's last-minute cancellation of a planned vote by the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which could have advanced the legislation to the full House for a vote. The amendment will clarify that the bill applies to new vehicles manufactured and sold in the U.S. and vehicles manufactured abroad and sold in the U.S. However, vehicles built in the U.S. and sold overseas would not be required to include AM capability. Lawmakers said in April that the amendment would specify that the new rules requiring AM radios inclusion in the dashboard would be strictly for passenger cars and trucks and not commercial vehicles. The auto industry recently claimed keeping AM radio in cars will cost as much as $3.8 gigadollars, with some of those costs passed on to consumers. It also says passage of the new AM radio mandate could also force some car makers to scrap other safety features. Radio Vanuatu has continued using 9960 until 0659 UT when they switched to 3945. We can hear the higher one, but not the lower one direct. But unfortunately, there's now some interference from WRMI, only 5 kHz down on 9955. The World Radio TV Handbook is now promoting itself as now available as an e-book. Explore the world of radio like never before. The definitive resource for broadcasters, radio enthusiasts, and global communicators. This meticulously curated digital edition offers unparalleled access to the latest info on radio stations and frequencies across the globe, with up-to-date listings, offline access anywhere, versatile compatibility, searchable content, interactive table of contents, adjustable text size and font. More about it and how to order at shop.radiodatacenter.net. Via UDXF and Medium Wave News, this from Lucas Alexandre in Goiânia, Brazil, about an AI approach to noise filtering. I'm sharing a significant discovery for radio enthusiasts, especially those who have to deal with unwanted noise from appliances' electrical networks. This identifies the noise base in a transmission and separates the useful part. I have achieved surprising results. More about this at ournetplace.com/rm-noise. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued July 1st. ANK indices mostly 5 and 2 through July 27th, except for peaks to 10 and 3 on July 14th, 15th, and 20th. Solar flux ranging from 170 to 180, except for a peak to 185 on July 22nd. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, and hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2250 with a standard disclaimer.